Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the PSA Pod. Today I sit down with Brad Malone from Navigate Management Consulting and we talk about holding employees to standards. This was a really interesting episode where we talked not only about performance reviews, standard operating procedures, you know, training manuals for positions, but being really clear with your employees upfront about what your expectations are for them and their job performance. I think he gives a lot of great tips that will really help people have a better working relationship with their direct reports and ultimately have overall success for the organization as a whole. I hope that you enjoy this episode of the PSA Pod. And as always, if you have suggestions for guests or topics that you think we should cover, go ahead and email them to us at marketing@psasecurity.com. Hi, Brad. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Candace.
I'm excited to jump in on the topic of holding your employees to standards. I actually just wrote an article about this in the April edition of Security Business Magazine. I was sharing some tips for performance review season. I don't know about you, but that can be a dreaded time.
Yep.
So we wanted to, you know, share some tips on that. So it's been top of mind for us here at PSA.
Yeah. So what I find with a lot of people, and I've worked with, you know, hundreds of companies and you know, really thousands of people. And I always get into this drama of, you know, and I say, well, you didn't do that correctly. They're like, God, you're mean. And I'm like, well, so you did do it correctly. And they're like, well, no. I'm like, so I don't know how I can be mean if I'm pointing out. Now, I'm also willing to point out what correct is. And if I forgot to show you what correct is before, that's my fault as your manager. So, you know, let's breathe for a moment. This isn't a judgmental conversation. And I think that that's, to me, the goal of a standard. And then it's communicating the principles of like why, what, and how.
Right.
So again, with me, standards are, it's the point of performance and measurement that meets the quality, you know, parameter or quality standard or quality of the deliverable to give to the next person. And that's why it's, quote, the standard, is because it ought to be repeatable and measurable. So, and I find that a lot of people never got told what the standard was or why. So why do we have this standard? Well, a standard could be for safety. A standard could be for waste. We only have a certain amount of resources and we only can do this once. So let's do it correctly. Or, you know, they're going to use this, you know, in terms of a conference room or a security system. This has to work all the time. So the standard is it has to be reliable, maintainable, available, all those parameters. I don't think we tell people why enough when it comes to standards. And then I've worked around the globe, but I find Americans, and we are Americans, so we have to be loyal to that, but we also need to be loyal that we like to often spend most of our time trying to figure out how to get around the standard.
Right.
So, and I haven't read your article, I'd be excited to do so, but I find that by having standards that make sense, that have a good why proposition or purpose proposition, we need to get people's buy-in to that. Not the agreement of how we do things, but the agreement of why.
Right.
And then once we have why, we can move to what does that look like? If the why, you know, if the security monitor has to look a certain way, be in a certain position, do a certain thing, then that's the what. What does this thing have to do? What does it have to look like? What does it not do? All those things. So it's a clear picture in everyone's mind of what does good look like? And then you move into the how of how do we then go make it look that way in order to achieve the purpose. And I find that's like the procedure.
Right.
And what I find in a lot of organizations is that we collapse all three and we don't separate them out and structure those conversations well. Because I'll find that most people, if you have the discussion of why, will agree on the why.
Absolutely.
They'll also say, never heard that. Or never knew that. Or now that I understand why, of course it makes sense to have it do that. So that's, and you tell me also, but I find that's a huge conversation that's lacking.
Yeah, it sounds like we're on the same page. That's actually, you know, one of my tips about performance reviews is I And I've been at organizations that have done it wrong, and I've been at organizations that have done it right. And for me, what I like is really taking the overall corporate goals yep. and making sure your whole team, you know, from the bottom up has an understanding of what we're all working together for as a right. business, and then making our team goals and our individual goals all tied to that. So we yep. understand why it is that we do what we do.
And then that why is also values and ethics, you know,
right.
Why is it important to you as a person? Well, because I want to do the right thing. Well, then so do we as a company. So it's aligning both, you know, the soft and the hard, but in a way that, and you know, the cascade or whatever you want to move, but from top to bottom and then bottom to top. So that's key, is that first that why. And then the what is has to be measurable and not mood-based and not changing. This meets the standard. This doesn't meet the standard. And I've learned this, you know, over 30 years, but it's like, I don't say this is good and this is bad, because then people go, so I must be a bad person.
Right.
No, it's just, this meets the standard. This doesn't meet the standard. Well, it's close, correct. And it doesn't meet the standard. You know, and so if it's really, really important, like if we don't do this correct, some, you know, the door may not open and then it's a fire door and people can't get out and then people die.
Right.
So do we want the door to kind of work or sometimes work or absolutely 100% positive work? And again, that's that why to the what. And we want people to own the value and the quality of the deliverable, of the what, of that standard. And then you move into the standard of the procedure, which is how will we go now do that? And this is where I find a lot of companies missed a step, is they write procedures, management writes procedures for people who don't understand why or what.
Right.
And then that person reads the procedures and says to themselves, well, that's kind of stupid, or I wouldn't have done it that way, or well, that person has no idea what they're talking about. So given they have no idea what they're talking about, I don't have to listen to anything they say, and I definitely don't have to follow that procedure. And then when people say, are you following the procedure? We say, oh yeah, absolutely. Which would then go back to a value of, you know, do we lie? Do we do all that? So I find that the people, either if I have a technician and a lead technician, the lead technician needs to own the procedure and actually spend time honing the procedure. Their manager needs to give them the tools and the capabilities and the competence and the motivation structure and the performance system and all of that to foster the following of that procedure. If that makes sense to you, it's like, I don't think the manager writes procedures. We reward the following of them, but we want right. people to own their, we want people to own their destiny, if that, you know, an overused term.
I think you bring up a great point that, you know, it really ultimately comes down to communication. And I just think yep. so many times when we see criticism of leaders, you know, we have brilliant leaders that sometimes are just not the greatest communicator. And
right.
ultimately that's what we really get judged on, is how effectively we can communicate something.
Well, and a lot of people in the systems integration business, a lot of managers are recovering technicians, you know, who basically look at people and say, don't you get it? And I'm like, well, they do get it. They just don't get it your way.
Right.
So it's that communication, and I'd say it's patience and tolerance, but am I actually grooming and creating a learning environment where I want people to not only learn the procedure, but I want them to learn the what and the why, because at some point in time, I'm going to be gone and I need them to carry on the legacy. And the legacy needs to be much more than a procedure. Procedures can always change, and I'm going to say should always change. Now, they shouldn't change independently just because I have a mood, but they change on continuous improvement or different tool suites come in. But the why rarely changes, right. and the what may change based on technology. Does that make sense? But I think we often have it backwards. We reward and we measure people on how they did something, as opposed to do they understand the what and the why.
When you're coaching people to this, how do you help them understand where to even start to try to get this right?
I typically listen to their language. So if they're using how language, then I'll go, okay, well, how would we do that? And then when they start down that path, I'm like going, but what are we trying to deliver? And then why do we need to deliver that? So I always try and weave all three conversations in as quickly as possible so that people see that there's an interrelationship between the two, because otherwise you end up arguing about procedures. Or you also end up arguing about, I thought I did it well, or you measured me wrong. So it's also, what's the measurement? What's the visible measurement? And moods aren't, well, moods can be visible, but we don't want to go there. But it's like performance measurement, or performance management. There's competence. Was the person able to understand why and tell me, you know, match the why conversation? Were they able to define or take a picture or create a picture of what it is we're trying to build, whether it's a security door, whether it's an auditorium, what's that look like? And then how will we make that happen? And if they can mentally picture all of that, and then if they're a technician, how will they go make that happen? Now we're down to a procedure. And then, you know, building an auditorium is hundreds of procedures, but at the end of the day, it's like tying your shoe. How big a loop do you make? Do you double knot it? Do you not double knot it? You know, I have two kids, so therefore they're completely different, but they still have to learn how to tie their shoes.
Right.
That makes sense. But what I find now is that many people go, well, they don't know how to tie their shoes, so we're just going to buy Velcro.
Right.
I'm like, well, they're 22.
Absolutely.
I think they could do tie shoes. And then people say, well, it's really difficult. I'm like, well, it's not difficult for them if you teach them correctly. So I find that a lot of people, when they do performance reviews, are actually measuring their performance as a manager. They just happen to flip it.
Right. How do you kind of coach your managers? You know, our leaders are such an important part of fostering our overall culture. So how do you coach them to that, to help them take that step back?
Well, you used two words there, and I'm going to say they're different words. So manage is I use the word control, but it's a control, execute, monitor function.
Right.
So it's a down looking at the how and the deliverable that came out of that. Leadership is more of an opening function. Why are we here? Why are we doing this? Why is it important? So to me, leadership always has heart in it. It has vision in it. Leadership motivates.
Yes.
Management, I'll say, rewards the compliance of the competence that we're motivated to go achieve. So hopefully I'm not using too many buzzwords there. But I find that management needs to manage. If I'm a manager, I'm not your friend.
Right.
And I've been project managing for 30 years and teach project managers around the world. And one of my, you know, phrases is, you know, as a project manager, if you want a friend, buy a dog, you know, because they give you unconditional love. But I don't need that on the job site. On the job site, I'm managing a project. I need it. And projects are binary. Either the task is done to the deliverable or the task is not. Well, it's almost done. Well, it's called no.
Right.
It's not done. And then it's like, well, you know, I crimped that cable. Well, great. And so I like to do visuals. So I like to take, you know, pinwheels of pictures, you know, the laminated pictures, like this is a good termination. What does yours look like? Well, mine looks like that one over there. So is that the good or the not good? Well, that doesn't meet it. Well, then why did you say you were done? Now, there's also if you said you were done, maybe you didn't know how to look at the picture. Maybe you didn't understand it. That's competence. I tend to be what I guess people would call old school now, Ken Blanchard's 1 minute manager and situational leadership. You manage where the follower is. So, you know, if I've got a 4-year-old, I'm going to sit and tie their shoes for them the first time and second time and maybe third time. But then we're going to get the fundamentals down. What I find is for those of us who are parents or were kids, teaching competence at that level makes complete sense. Well, of course, I'm not just going to tell them to go tie their shoes. They don't know how.
Right.
And yet in companies now, you'll have people come up to you that are in their 20s and 30s, and we'll look at them and say, go do that, whatever that is. And they'll say, well, how do you want me to do that? Which is, they're basically saying the question they asked, how would you like me to do that? And we say, whatever, just go get it done.
Right.
You'll be fine. Well, what do you want it to look like? It'll be fine. You'll know. And then so they go out and they do something, they bring it back. And we say, not like that though.
Right.
And they go, well, how do you want me to do it then? Well, not like that, obviously. Go do it the other way. And they're like, okay. And then they, you know, so now they're kind of like getting somewhat demoralized and confused. And then looking at you going, okay, whatever. And then they come back a second time and we say, well, obviously you don't get it. So why don't I do it for you?
Right.
And then you have the people, you have two sets of people, and I'm generalizing, but you have the people who say, well, fine, if you're going to do it for me, I'm really glad I work here, or don't work here, but just get paid.
Right.
And then you have the people who go, but I really want to learn how to do this well, because that's who I am wired as, and you're not going to let me do this well. So I think I'll go find some place that actually allows me to perform and, you know, rise to my level of competence and motivation. People ask what they need for. If they ask how to do that, then they're asking, you know, you go back to the train portion of situational leadership and say, this is how you do it. I'll show you once, I'll watch you twice, and then go do it. It doesn't matter their age, it's their level of development.
Right. Yeah, I always love that question in interviews, you know, in my years as a manager now, when you're being interviewed of, you know, what, how would you describe your management style? And you always want to default to, well, I'm not a micromanager, but you realize, or I've realized anyway over time, that I adapt my leadership style to what my employees need.
Yeah.
And some need more hands-on of the how, and I always like to give the why, but some people really need more of, this is exactly how I expect it done. And for others, you can trust that they're going to get it done. It may not be the way I would get it done, but it's still going to be great, and I'm going to let them run with it.
Well, and even if you say the word great, it's like, it's still going to meet the standard or meet the intent. Again, if I don't care what my peanut butter and jelly sandwich looks like that you make me, Candace, I don't care how you make it.
Right.
But if I'm pretty tightly wound about my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I'm selling it for $12.50 as gourmet peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you better know exactly how to make it.
Yes.
And so the level of quality within the standard dictates the preciseness of the procedure. But if I've never answered the question why, how does the person pick the level of the standard and the level of the procedure? And so I think, yeah, we're in perfect alignment. We should talk another hour.
But yeah.
our podcast people would say no.
I was going to say that, you know, we kind of covered some interesting tips and information, and I think you and I could talk about this at length. But if you could share, you know, with our audience kind of what a list of your services and how they can contact you.
Great. So we do a lot of management consulting, both business management, process management, project management consulting within the systems integration business, which means if it has a wire and it connects to something, we usually have a pretty good idea of how to help your business. They can contact us through our website, NavigateMC, so MikeCharlie.com. And then I'm out there on LinkedIn, Brad Malone. And again, I'm on your guys' website. So
yes.
I'm enjoying my journey in this industry. A lot of great, great people who I think really need skill in management training, because a lot of them were, you know, three or four people in a van, and now they're 30 years into it, but we really haven't created our management structure within it. We just got bigger.
Right. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Brad.
Thank you, Candace.